This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome to the second installment of a two-part Where to Go From Here series. I'm your host, April Heimerl, Senior Business Solutions Architect at Fish & Richardson. This podcast is called Where to Go From Here, Part 2, Climbing the Corporate Ladder, discussing career mobility in the workplace. Whether you have a strong desire to climb up the corporate ladder or are seeking to get ahead in a move that will provide you more responsibility, both are equally important to better understand and position yourself in the field. Please welcome to our podcast, Sherry Estrin, CEO at Estrin Legal Staffing, and Brian Bernhard, Senior Office Administrator at Ogletree Deacons. Sherry, what do I need to do to make CEO, Senior Office Administrator, Team Lead? It seems there are a great many people who do not have a clear professional path and do not know where to go from their current position. It would be interesting to briefly share your respective career path and how you advance.
I had a great time. I started out as a paralegal at $1,500 a month in a small firm in Seattle, Washington, and then moved to Los Angeles and to a major law firm and moved up to a paralegal administrator. And then I went to an Am Law 100 law firm and moved up as the paralegal administrator there, where I was in charge of anywhere from 50 to 100 paralegals at any one time, plus the temps. And the way that I did it was to get cross-trained. So every skill that I didn't have, I got cross-trained. In other words, if I was the litigation paralegal, what I would do is start to get some corporate assignments. If I were a corporate paralegal wanting to get to move ahead, I would get cross-trained in other areas. And then one of the most important things that you can do is continuing legal education. Now, some states, there are 13 states that have mandatory continuing legal education for paralegals. So you have to take continuing legal education. But what you need to do is take the continuing legal education that applies to where it is you want to go. So in other words, if you want to be a CEO, what kind of education and cross-training do I need in order to get there? Now, chances are you're going to have to leave your firm in order to move up, and that's okay. One of the problems of paralegals, if it is a problem, is they don't want to leave. Okay, they feel as though they're disloyal, the firm won't get along without them, but you may have to leave because what the firm will do is always perceive you as a paralegal. So in order to climb that ladder, you're going to have to make a transition and move into the next position. Can you do that? It's very hard. It's very, very hard. But if you demonstrate that you gain the skills and show a progressive upward mobility, upward movement, and you've got the CLE behind you, chances are that you can do it. You might have to go to a smaller firm. You might even have to take a cut in salary, but you need to do what you need to do in order to move up. I know many paralegals who have moved up to be director of administration, HR manager, practice support manager, director of marketing, and these are people that are making big, big bucks. I am currently placing paralegals and former paralegals in six figures. How did they get there? They picked a direction and they got the education, they got the cross training, and they started to move up. It's not simple, but there is a defined way that you can move up the what we're going to call the invisible ladder for paralegals.
Thank you. Brian, can you discuss any skills that someone would need to move up, things that would apply to any role, for example, emotional intelligence, creative thinking, things of that nature?
You know, there are a few core principles and skills that we all need a certain amount of attention to detail. We all need a certain amount of organizational skill. It's debatable on how much of those actually need everybody asked for, you know, extreme levels of attention to detail and organization. But in my opinion, sometimes the extreme attention to detail can get in the way a little bit as well. The key ones, though, are those that you mentioned, the emotional intelligence, the critical thinking, the problem solving. How do I work with people? And how can I read people so that the work goes along smoothly and things aren't always about me, but they're about the group or the team? The team perspective is very important to me when I'm looking at, you know, promotions and team leads for my team. Problem solving as well. Like, are you coming to me with this didn't work? Now what do I do? Figure it out. That's what we made Google for. Go find it and at least come to me with possible solutions, or go to your attorneys with possible solutions. One of the other things that Sherry touched on a little bit as well is professional development. Make sure that whatever professional development opportunities are offered to you, whether internally or externally, you're taking advantage of them. I've often joked with my paralegals at my current firm and previous firms when they're like, oh, I'm too busy to go to this seminar or to this, you know, lunch briefing. I said, okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that you're too busy for your own professional development. And that sticks with them, hopefully, so that they're like, oh no, if I want to get ahead, it's really more important for me to learn more about what I'm doing and in other areas that are similar to what I'm doing right now in my work than it is to get your work done that 1 hour quicker. It also shows your employer that you are giving them their money's worth out of these programs that they're paying for anyway, most times. And nothing worse than, you know, when a problem comes up in one of our programs and nobody knows how to solve the problem. If you're that person who has learned, you know, the various programs that you work in, then you become that go-to person as well. This flexibility and always, you know, being patient and flexible and communicative as well, you know, making sure that your supervisors and managers and attorneys know that you want to go places and you're hoping that they will help you get to those places.
Thank you, Brian. Sherry, what skills have you found most helpful, or what skills are you personally working on?
Well, that's a revealing question, isn't it? So I am constantly working on actually writing skills. I've written 10 books. I think I can even be better. Well, I have my own business, so it's a little bit different than somebody else in a law firm. But I'm working on my writing skills. I'm working on my speech giving skills. I'm working on my teaching skills because I have a definite goal where I want to get. Now, for paralegals, what I advise you to do is to define the skills that you may need help on, okay, and you may not even know, all right? So what you need to do is ask a colleague, say, when I write a memo, does that come across clearly? Am I demonstrating leadership skills? You need to define the skills within which you think that you are weak in and go from there. Personally, I'm all over the board, actually. I always want strong leadership skills, speaking skills, writing skills. And let me tell you about the writing end of it. If you can get good PR for yourself and become a leader by being noticed, then chances are you're going to move up the ladder. So how do we do that? What we do is we start to get attention, draw attention to ourselves. So if you can write, start writing, okay? Because then what you can do is you can take that article, you can take the blog, a piece by you or about you, send it around the firm. You start to get noticed, okay? So I say work on your PR skills. Start promoting yourself. If you are teaching a class, let the firm know that you're teaching a class. Get recognized as the person who really knows their topic. And once you start working on your PR skills, you're going to see your career actually skyrocket. Okay, because now you become the person in the know. And I think everybody needs to work on that. So I'm working on my PR skills. So how do you get noticed?
Fantastic. Thank you, Sherry. Brian, given the changing profession and how non-standard law firms tend to be, I do not think there's any real easy answers, but I think there's certainly tips and information to be shared. Do you have a tip that you would like to share with our listeners on how to climb the career ladder?
Well, I have a couple of personal characteristics that everybody can work on that will improve how you're viewed, you know, within the law firm setting. And one is to not be known as the no person. It's difficult being the yes person and the yes man and always taking on the additional work. And there's different ways of taking on work and getting people to assist you with the work. But what typically rises to my attention as the office administrator is the person who always says no, or often says no. As long as you're consistently being, you know, a yes person when it comes to taking on additional work and tasks and training, then an occasional, I really can't handle that, any additional work right now, is not going to look poorly upon you. But as long as the majority of your answers are yes, or yes, I'd be happy to help, figure out how we can accomplish this is a lot different than, no, I don't have any time to do that. The other thing is drama. You don't want to be the person who is seen as creating drama, because nobody wants to promote the people who stir the pot. The people who I look for when I'm promoting to team leads, paralegal managers, supervisors, are the people who, you know that sometimes personal relationships in the workplace can be challenging, but they can separate themselves from the relationships or keep it outside of work. But the drama in the workplace, whether it's gossiping or fighting or just complaining about other people in the break room, that loudly so that, you know, everybody else can hear about it. Those are things that you really, really want to avoid so that, you know, you're viewed always as, you know, a positive contributor to the firm. That really comes into play when decisions are being made as to who's ready to fill a gap or to take a promotion. Is, are you a positive contributor?
Sherry, do you utilize a core competency program within your organization?
Not exactly, because I'm a staffing agency, so we're a little bit different, although I have a number of temps out, that sort of thing. But in terms of core competency, let's address this a different way. Paralegals, by nature of the definition, the ABA used to put this in their definition of a paralegal, is routine and repetitious work. So core competency could mean they are organized, they have good writing skills, that sort of thing. But what are your core competencies in terms of where you're headed? Okay, that's what you've got to look at. Paralegals become the victims of what we call empty loading. And that is, yes, I agree with Brian that you cannot be a no person, you have to be a yes person. But what may happen is you become the best deposition summarizer in the firm. Now, is that going to get you moving up the ladder? No, that's not going to get you moving up the ladder. Paralegals become victims of empty loading. What is empty loading? That's when they do say yes, okay, I can take on all the work. But what happens is Jane, instead of summarizing 6 depositions a week, is now summarizing 12 depositions a week. So she becomes a victim of empty loading. What you need to do is increase your core competencies to start to encompass where it is that you want to go. So you need to start moving up the ladder by asking for assignments beyond the one that you got. So for example, if Jane is summarizing 6 depositions a week and she doesn't want to be a victim of empty loading, what she has to do is go back to the attorney and say, now that I've summarized those depositions, can I do a list of testimony inconsistencies for you? Okay, now what is that? That is increasing her competency and it's moving her up the ladder. And it's training the attorney, which you always have to do, training the attorney in how paralegals are utilized. Believe me, they don't learn that in law school, okay? And nobody teaches them to use a paralegal in the law firm. It's just not part of something that's done. So that's the best way I can answer that question.
I would like to thank our speakers, Sherry Estrin and Brian Bernhard, for joining us today on the second installment of the 2-part Where to Go From Here series.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.